Okay, it's Tuesday, September 17th. I'm here with my good friend CJ. CJ, how you doing today?
I'm good, Scott. I'm coming in hot off a bachelor party, my first bachelor party in about a decade.
You may not even remember the conversation I had with you and bachelor, Sandia Bakerly, but it was not for consumption on this on these podcast airways.
Yeah, and well, you were a little upset when you called, and we were in our second round of the day at the Cradle at Pinehurst. Scott, I went in. This is a group of 16 guys. A lot of these guys grew up at Neshottoc. Sam Deere Bakerly is the bachelor. You had Nick Chunius, Sam Dorigo, John, I can't say his last name.
Oh, Johnny Pantidosi.
There you go. All great guys. Some of them I had not met before. Bill Ward was there, you know, Sam's brother-in-law. Yeah. I'll say great group. Those guys do have a good time. I think that we had a last-minute 16th player that came on the trip, and it was very fortunate that we had a chaperone in Sean Walker.
CJ, who in their right mind invites Sean Walker to a bachelor party?
Nobody in their right mind, but I tell you, if you want a straw to stir the drink, you got your man.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I can't. That's beyond my comprehension, frankly. I mean, I'm trying in my head to imagine it, and I'm not going.
He really tied the group together. I'm going to tell you that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was a great time. You know, and I'll
you're
say
here.
It,
you're back.
Yeah. I mean, we had a really good time. I think you know you can't get. Reality is you can't get into too much trouble in Pinehurst. It's a retirement town. But we had some really good golf. I had more steaks than I needed for the week, but they were all delicious. All the guys were really fun. Made some good new friends. Played pretty good golf until the last day I completely broke down. But got my fair share of birdies. I saw a guy make an albatross on a par 5.
Wow.
I didn't witness, but Sam Deere Bakerly, of course, shows up. On an hour of sleep and shoots even par at Pinehurst number 2.
Excellent.
Because he's that good.
He's good.
I'm a little jealous. But, yeah, great time. And looking forward to whenever the next golf trip is.
Did you guys do the par 3 course?
The Cradle, yeah. That's when you
called. Oh, that's the Cradle.
When you called, yeah. I
actually didn't know it was called that.
When you called, I was waiting to tee off the 9th.
Okay.
And we were sitting in those Adirondack chairs.
Yes.
Waiting to tee off. And right when I got off the phone with you, who comes up to me but Tyler Maruca.
He was there?
Who was there on a different trip.
Oh,
I had
funny.
No idea he was going to be there. But I saw him
that's
and I said hi. I said, hey, what's up? So that was two bachelor parties. There was a third bachelor party there. Davis Love the Third's son is getting married. So his bachelor party was going on. So we saw Davis Love the Third there and a couple other familiar faces. So definitely a trip to remember.
Yeah, Kramer and I went there kind of what you would think would be off-season, and you mentioned the restaurants. They weren't all open, but we did have good meals where we went, except we stayed at a hotel nearby, but we had to take an Uber to the restaurant. We could not get an Uber home. Like you said, it's a sleepy town.
Sleepy town.
You go into
things
town,
shut down at 10,
yeah.
11.
Yeah. I honestly thought we were going to have to ask one of the waitresses for a ride home. Then finally found a taxi. I don't even remember how we got home.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's out of the way. But look, great golf. That complex is fantastic. The bars are awesome.
Pinehurst is a great trip. If I wasn't already going this past weekend, I would have gone on that trip that McKenzie was organizing. Because Pinehurst is a must do. You got to do it multiple times too. There's
Pinehurst is
not much that beats that as a complex for overall experience.
So CJ, I'm not going to get into yet why I was angry when I called you, but I'm going to share something with you on a personal basis. You know, last week was 9/11, and I do get concerned that people sometimes forget the enormity of 9/11.
Yeah.
But there's this documentary, and maybe you've seen it, called The Man in the Red Bandana, which is about this BC college kid who saved a bunch of lives and then died at the end. And, you know, Jay Wren knows him. They actually have a red bandana tournament that I don't know if it's golf or something else that I know Jay is going to in a couple weeks. But it was good to do that because, you know, I remember 9/11 vividly, but I get worried that as generations go on, it kind of loses a little bit of the focus. And it was just so horrific.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It hits home to me every time that anniversary comes around. I mean, I was a senior in college. I remember I was living at Beacon and Mass Ave. I remember watching that on the news in the morning. I remember there was a police raid at the Copley Hotel because that's where some of the hijackers had stayed the night before. Oh, wow. So I remember a lot of that stuff going on. I have, you know, friends who had family members pass away, either as passengers, a flight attendant, or in one case, a cop who went in just like Ren's friend.
Yep.
And was saving people until the minute.
Well,
the
Ren's
building
friend
collapsed.
Actually was working, I think, at the place on the top, that maybe not that one, Canner and something,
yeah.
But he was working there on the second tower and found a stairwell that was still, you know, viable, and it ended up like going up and down and getting people that couldn't make it on their own to like the 70th floor. At that point, they had to go all the way down by themselves, which a lot of them were able to do. And then he started his way down, made it to like, I guess, like just a floor too short, and then the whole thing collapsed on him.
Yeah,
I awful. Mean, according, you know, I assume, I don't know how anybody actually knows that, but
yeah,
that's it. So anyway, the one thing I remember vividly about that time was, and I don't know if this, if you were at college, this may not have happened, but if you remember that Friday, there was a candlelight vigil, and everybody was supposed to stand outside their houses with a candle at dusk, and I think they were going to take an aerial photo, you know, of the United States. And I was driving home from work that day. It might have been the first day we went back to work, and my whole family, my kids were young. I mean, my kids were really young, were in the front yard holding their candles, and I thought to myself, is the world ever going to be the same again?
Yeah.
It was just a scary, scary time. Anyway, just wanted to bring that up, not to throw, you know, a downer on this, because we're going to get worse than this, but that's anyway. So CJ, we got a couple things to go over, so we might as well get into it right now.
Yeah.
When you were having fun at your bachelor party, I thought I was going to have a nice, easy, breezy day at Neshottuck. I didn't play golf. It worked out, and I went over there. I was going to hang out with Gary a little while, steam and shower. I went upstairs to see my wife, who was with a friend I wanted to say hi to, and I got bombarded with guys complaining about not being able to schedule their playoff matches. And as you can imagine, not only there, but then I went to lounge after, and then it kind of followed me down there, that I was like at my wit's end.
Yeah.
So you and I spoke, and then, you know, I sent out an email. I didn't go out to everybody. I only went out to those involved. And I took your responsibility offered, because in case my anger came through, I didn't want you to be part of that. But I never heard anything back except for one situation. It was all actually fine. But I think we've come up with, and you tell me if I'm wrong, a new solution for this problem. And the problem is, number one, that people don't listen, okay? And when we say, CJ, if you had a dollar for how many times we said, if you can't be available in September, don't join the tournament. How many times? How rich would we be?
I'd have...
Between emails, podcasts?
I'd have hundreds of dollars.
Seeing people?
Yeah.
So, of course, here we are.
Yeah.
And our thing is, I've seen too many times that this thing drags out beyond the aeration, and you have to play the finals on aerated greens, and it's just not right. It's not fair. It's not fun.
Yeah.
And so last year, everybody was great. I mean, I'm sure last year we had problems. I don't remember. But last year, we had the four finalists play as part of Nooners, and maybe right after Nooners together, which was exciting. And I think you actually went out in a cart at one point and were trying to get some updates and all of that, and it was great. And so we kind of set that up for this year, and that was going to be compromised.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in trouble, but I think we're gonna make it. But I do want to say, I did go out last year and watched, and I went out with Ren, and I think Prudente came out with us.
Yes, I think you're right.
And it was a little odd. Like it wasn't a good setting. That's why I'm saying this year we're leaning into it. I think anyone who wants to go watch. I think we should have someone going along with them with one of those scorecards that shows the status of the matches.
Great. Have people caddy for them. Whatever.
Absolutely. But, go all out. Make it a big deal.
But that was the nice part of that day, if you remember, was when they all came in and we all celebrated in the lounge. And yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then a lot of those guys had dinner scheduled. If I remember, it was the Grip It and Sip It guys. They thought they had a celebratory dinner scheduled with their wives upstairs.
Pastor saw a different outcome.
Yes, and I ended up joining them that day. But it was just a nice night day. So we're hoping to recapture that this year. And so we set the date of... Who's that?
Help. Someone help me.
Who is that, CJ? CJ?
What? What was that? Did you hear that?
I thought I heard something.
I don't know what that was. Jesus.
Is anybody there? Please help me.
Who is
what
that?
What the heck? What could possibly be going on? I don't have any. Is your phone on?
No.
Scotty, CJ, is that you?
What?
Where's that coming from?
Who is this?
It is I, Flounder, formerly known to you as Crooker. After my performance in the Mikkovic Cup last week, Driscoll, Shapiro, and Rickenbach have banished me to the Phantom Zone. Here I stay in Purgatory and have matched wits with the General Zod, who is planning his next attack on Earth. Our only hope is to...
Jeez, whoa, what was that? I think I shut that down. I'm so sorry to our listeners. I don't know what that was.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's so weird, man.
I would say...
We're at your house recording.
No, that could have come through my Siri, maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, hopefully that's
CJ,
over.
CJ, honestly, I think your boy Crooker is gone into hiding.
I think he might. I haven't seen him in a while.
He lost with Rickenbach, Mr. Piss Missile himself, to... two guys who are in their 80s, I think. Wait, is Scheiden's 80s yet? He's definitely in his 70s.
And
Jim Jesse.
Wow. Well, that was Jesse, a tough one. Jim Jesse's like in his 60s.
Yeah, late 60s. Yeah. But Jesse was probably a good 15 Bud Lights in. But he doesn't drink Bud Light anymore. He drinks Coors Lights now.
Right, yeah.
Miller Lights.
That's his fuel, though.
Yeah. So, no, that's a good thing for him, and I'm just saying. And then, you know, Driscoll, yeah, that's tough for them. They did overcome the two-shot... hole that Driscoll put him in, but then they couldn't win in the overtime.
Yeah, they had two matches in the playoffs, both went to OT.
Yeah.
It's, we have two teams that are in the semis already, and then we have...
Yes, well, we're getting to that now.
Yeah.
So, thank you for stoking my anger again. So we had one issue, which was, and I don't care at this point who to blame it on, but one of the first round matches took forever to get done. And now... that kind of screwed up the guys in the second round, but I'm like, we can't wait. So what we agreed upon, and I think you and I agreed upon this together, and we rolled it out and didn't get any pushback, was that you're going to play your first match, and when you get to that second match, if you have a guy that can't play, then someone on your team is going to have to play twice, but the other team gets to choose who that is.
Option to choose.
Right, option to choose. I mean, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think the only...
Can be awful on any given
day. Yeah, I think you might... if there's a big handicap disparity, then you might choose on that.
Yes.
But you're not going to be like, oh, this person's not playing well.
Right.
That person... someone who shot a 95 yesterday could shoot an 80 the next day.
And so, CJ, I think that... here's my thought as we, you know... if, indeed, we continue on with this tournament... is that going into next year and going forward... we will apply that principle... through every round up until the finals, but we're going to mandate that all 8 people have to be there for the final match.
There's a date that is going to be set in stone for the final.
Yes.
You got to make it.
You got to be there.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, I would say that, so here we are, like you said, we have WTF playing against...
James Gang
in one semifinal, and I think they're planning on playing pretty quickly. I know Kramer's out of town... until the weekend? They may be done at the end of this weekend.
Yeah.
And then the other match is now set, correct? It's Karma.
And Locker 91.
And Locker 91.
And Drawshank and Red Hot Chili
Peppers. So they aren't even at the semifinals yet. So that's the
correct
problem. This is our issue.
Yeah. So we have a semi. We'll have a finalist by the 21st.
We'll have a finalist before we have a semifinalist.
We'll have a finalist before the other two semifinals.
Yeah. So that's no good. Yeah. That's no good. And that's why that's my anger, and that's why we came up with this idea.
Yeah.
Because you and I both know, and in talking to these teams, someone is available to play, even if two guys have to play both matches. So going into next year, that's what we're going to do. We're going to leave it up to the teams to decide who's going to play up until the finals. But in the finals, everybody has to play. So yeah. You're not going to sideline someone, I would assume, for all the playoff matches and then ask them to play in the finals.
Yeah.
So, or her, as the case may be.
Player of the year, Raquel Simula.
Yes. How close were they to making the playoffs? Were they not? I mean, it's hard for her to carry her husband over the finish line, I'm sure. So
they were close. They were 3 points from making the playoffs.
Wow.
So or no, maybe even closer. Yeah, three points from making the playoffs.
So anyway, here we are. So one thing we know is that, amazingly, either Paul Kramer or who's on the James game?
Boudreaux, Jesse, Scheid, and is it Perella?
Either Paul Kramer or Tony Perella is going to be in the finals.
Yeah, it's Perella. Yeah.
There you go, CJ. You're either going to have Kramer with his 22 handicap or Perella teeing it up from the greens in the finals.
Oh, my God.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, and then, I mean, well, it's interesting because with the 12 teams, when you look at the semifinals at this point, it's chalk. You have the second and the two, three seeds are in. The one and four seeds, I believe, are both still alive in those other quarter. Yeah. So, yeah, 1, 8, 4, 5 left. So that's all chalk on that side of the bracket. You did have upsets going into round two of the side of the bracket that's in the semis because Stroking Off Mead and Grip It and Sip It were both, they were the 10-11 seed. They took down the 6 and 7 seeds. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I think any of these six teams left could win it.
Well, obviously getting the bye helps, but
yeah,
then the work begins. So, yes, it's good. I mean, so like I said, I think by the time we get to, the good thing is this coming weekend is an open weekend. There are no tournaments. Next weekend is an open weekend. There are no tournaments. The weekend, I think I'm right about that. The weekend after is the four-man four ball.
Yeah.
But there will be tee times available in the afternoon.
Yeah, there's no big tournament that's taking up the entire day. Yeah.
So you got weekends, weekdays. One thing I was going to say, we have a set date of October 11th, which is a Friday, and ideally doing it in Nooners, at the end of Nooners, whatever, for the teams that make it. However, if there was someone that was like, guys, I can't get out of work on a Friday, we could potentially move it to Saturday because Saturday is an open date, and I already talked to Brian about that. So I would say we would move it only in the essence of getting all eight together. Yeah,
totally.
But I think right now we're planning on 11th Friday.
Yeah, and if for some reason the matches have to happen on separate days, I think we would do the main party thing on whatever the clinching match is, we would do the second match.
Well,
we would have
Saturday,
we'll
right.
do the signage, we'll get everyone out with cards, we'll get the kegs going, whatever we're gonna do, we'll make it happen.
So anyway, so there we are. So hopefully, I mean, we're getting there, and I expect that when we're now that we've kind of settled up the non-availability issue, I assume we're gonna get there. CJ, you mentioned kegs. Are you providing those from the money that was left over last year from the men's association thing that we all kicked in $50 for?
We have no fun. We get no funding from that, Scott.
Actually, that's not true. Are you aware that the FedEx Cup, what they call that thing? The Cornish Cup. If you win it, you get $1,500 from that fund.
Nice.
So there is money in that fund.
There is money, yeah. But well,
so why don't you peel out $100, we'll buy a keg?
Because we don't. Because there's no money that goes into the McGavick Cup from the MGA. You know, if you play McGavick Cup and nothing else, you don't get charged the $50.
I see. Well, this would be for the general good of the general club. Well, we gotta have a keg.
We're splitting hairs. Yeah, I'll buy the keg.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to buy it, CJ. By the way, kegs are $30. And by the way, you don't get a full keg. You get like a half keg. We're not going to have enough guys to kill a keg.
Yeah, I'm getting
also, I'm not drinking beer anymore. I don't know if you heard.
We'll get a keg of Tito's.
Okay, I'm in. So, CJ, you gave me some really bad news the other day.
Uh-oh.
That we could have won the Machado Cup.
Yeah.
No, I take that back. We should have won the Machado Cup.
I agree.
And we end up losing to the eventual winners, which I guess makes you feel a little bit better, but not much.
Yeah.
So that was sad.
Very sad. We'll go get it next year.
Dean Queso and Johnny Bassett won the Arrowhead Cup. Astonishing that a guy went in with a 4 handicap and won the net tournament. You don't usually see that.
Yeah.
And then,
well, that's a good team. Dean's so steady.
And the President's Cup is still ongoing. Yo, do you aware I'm in the finals?
Oh, you are.
Would you like to know the story behind that?
I know the story, but I think maybe our listeners would like to hear it.
I've told enough people, but the reality is that the kid that I lost to in the first round ended up getting DQ'd because he went back to college.
Mm.
Like, what are we doing here, CJ? He didn't even attempt to schedule his second match. And just went back to school.
He
told me he just wanted to beat me. And I'm like, well, congratulations, but you got DQ'd and I'm back. So
so we had Zombie Scott in the finals?
So yes, to some extent. However, not necessarily. Because Brian told me this, and I'm like, all hell is going to break loose when people hear about this. And so I had to play David Dorigo, and I offered David that I would have to beat him twice to advance to his once beating me. Do you think that's fair?
Sure.
I mean, why is that not fair?
I don't know. Is it in the rules?
Do you think it would be better? Well, there were no rules at that point because Brian didn't have any contingencies.
Did you let Dave fluff the ball up in the rough?
I would have. Dave is not like that, but I would have. Do you think that it would have been better for him to get a forfeit, go to the finals?
No, but...
Well, they are.
I think this is why we have a head pro.
So he,
to make that call.
Well, he agreed. He actually, Brian said, my decision, you only play once. And I said, no, I'm going to offer to play him twice. So I beat him on a Thursday last week. And I said, if you're around, let's do it again. I haven't even heard from Andrew Lilly, who I'm supposed to play in the finals. And I that is still standing. I'm actually playing with David Saturday. If I'm not scheduled to play Andrew Lilly before then, I'm going to make him play me again. So I don't have to hear about it.
All right.
Because I know how we have vicious people at Nishadik who will do nothing but give me crap about this, and I don't want it.
I think you hurtful brought people. I think you brought that on yourself, and I think people are going to give you crap no matter what.
That's a good point. No matter what I do, yeah. I'm not going to win. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and win so that I don't care.
All right.
I have to beat Andrew Lilly, but I think I can do that, CJ. So that wraps up that, the Cornish Cup. I gather it's still in play. Are you in the top 10, CJ?
I can't imagine I am. I haven't been anything.
I don't think you are, CJ. No.
There's no way.
I don't know who the top 10 is, but maybe before our next podcast, I'll take a look at that. I had taken a picture of it a while ago, but it's all over the board now.
Yeah.
Do you know who's in first place right now? Ryan Marston.
He's been playing great.
How is that possible?
He won't be
when it's all said and done, but... Doesn't matter. All you have to be is in the top 10. There's no value to whether you finished first or 10th.
Okay.
Ian suggested I get the Scotty Scheffler treatment if I come in number one and get, like, you know, the 10 shots like Scotty Scheffler got in the last thing, but he's not doing that. So.
Nah, I think that's a little suspect.
That's not going to happen.
No.
He's got a whole format set up. It's a 9-hole thing. It's going to be great. We'll see.
Yeah.
October 13th is the date on that, I believe.
Oh, just 2 days after the McGavick Cup final. Wow.
Yes.
It's a Sunday, okay.
The course is seeing a lot of action.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is the Gold Cup. Are you going to play in the Gold Cup, CJ?
No. When is that?
The last weekend before the Air Raid. So the weekend after that. 18, 19, something like that. I always play with my son. It's a great tournament.
Maybe. If I'm around, I'll probably play.
It really is a good tournament. It's a lot of fun. And it really is the last thing, right? And then you put the clubs away. Although we have the turkey shoot. We'll always have the turkey shoot, CJ.
I'm not going to be in town for the turkey shoot
this
time.
I actually suggested they move it to closer to Thanksgiving because that's when we used to do it.
I would play in it, but the current date that's scheduled, I'm going to be out of town.
Oh, it's already on the calendar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do have to wrap the twice season, which we haven't done yet.
Yeah, sadly. Go ahead, CJ. I'll let you do that.
So one of our best seasons in a long time. finished second, home field advantage throughout the playoffs until the finals, which are
nice.
At a neutral site. But we showed up and went out with a whimper in the first round.
We did.
Lost to Woodland at home. I think we lost every match.
Yeah. We sucked. I was terrible.
Just a tough day. I think we battled back on the back nine, but the hole we dug ourselves on the front nine was just, it was too much to overcome.
Yeah, we all were down.
And sometimes you have these matches and you come in and you're like, oh, my opponent, he was just draining 30 footers and all that. And every match that came in, some Woodland guy was like having the round of his life.
Nah, that's bullshit. I just think that we just didn't play well. I don't buy that.
So,
and there were some good rounds. So the guys we played with were good, but
beat
them on a good day.
Woodland showed up and played well. We showed up and played a little tight, I think. Yep. So I think going into next year, we're not going to make too many changes. We've had success with the formula we're going with, which is being thoughtful about scheduling matches ahead of time, about bringing new people in, mm-hmm. about sticking with people who are playing well mm-hmm. in the TWI. Because mm-hmm. I just don't think... I think you get some information from looking at past rounds, but the proof is in how you do in match play.
Yeah.
That's really...
The good news is we also have... Look, I mean, I remember Ricky 2K wanted to... Even when he wasn't playing in our tournament, wanted to stay in the loop on it. Well, now he can just go on the website. But because he thought that people who were playing well in match play in our tournament were good candidates to play.
Yeah, and we draw from that.
Yeah, so that makes sense. And we don't do a lot of match play otherwise at the club. I mean, you have that in the Shada Cup. You can always look at that, the Arrowhead Cup. But I tend to agree with you. And then the other thing is that we saw, certainly Angelo and I saw, is if you can get two guys to play well together, you want to try to keep them together when they're both available.
Yeah.
Because that helps. You know, I remember we played a lot of guys that Angelo and I beat that had said they'd never played together before, and you could tell. There was a big difference between guys that had played together and guys that haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it's about golf is such a game of confidence
mm-hmm.
and confidence feeling comfortable.
And comfort.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten lucky, and I've played in some TWI matches, especially early on. When I started playing in TWI, I didn't know anybody at the club. And early on, I got some guys who I was very comfortable playing with. Jim Denser, Patrick Morley, and some of these guys have become very good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And just our personalities just happened to gel, and it was like comfortable from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And I was playing the better side of my game with those guys. I had some pairings with people who I think our personalities clashed, and I played poorly. Like shit.
Yeah, there you go.
So, sorry, Ben.
You're not enjoying yourself, so,
yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Speaking of Ben, C-Check,
yeah.
My little friend Ben Sarazeda, Sherman's kid. I saw him on the practice tee on Saturday, I think it was, and he was clearly grinding on the practice tee, and so I rolled the window down. I was leaving. Sherman was there. And he was getting ready for some match. I don't know what's going on in his world.
I'd say that you are, in some ways in this world, one of one. And this is one of those cases where you're the one person I know in the world who would stop, roll his window down, just to talk smack to a 12-year-old.
No, it wasn't smack. I was seeing what he was up to. So he told me he was getting ready for some match. I pulled the car over, went out of the putting green, and I gave him my one secret tip, which he took to immediately. And then... his dad texted me.
It was your like shorter putt tip.
Yeah, I don't want to.
We're not going to divulge it.
My secrets away.
No, but it was your shorter. It was your.
It was my 5 foot in.
Five foot in putt. Yes. Yeah.
Sherwin texted me 3 hours later, 2.5 hours later, and said he hit a 4 foot putt on the final hole to win his match, and at the end of it said, "I dedicate this to my dad and Scott McGavick."
Yeah, amazing that there were TV crews out there to capture that.
Can you imagine? Yeah. So that little kid loves to play golf. Anyway.
I love it.
Good for him. So whatever he's in, he either advanced to another round or he won it. I'm not sure how it all worked, but it happened on a Saturday afternoon, so I don't know.
Yeah, Ben, but, 7-8 years from now, when you're going to the Corn Ferry Tour and you need a caddy, give me a call.
You're going to have to help him sponsor him, though. I was willing to sponsor Matt Organisak, but his dad covered everything. So.
Okay. I think Sherman's doing all right.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about it. You only want to get in because it's like betting on a horse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. Look, the kid loves golf. That's important. You have to practice. I mean, it's rare you see someone from our area get into the even the Corn Ferry Tour because the competition is so dramatic. It's so brutal.
You know? Yeah, that was like our I had the same caddy all 3 days at Pinehurst, and he's telling me, you know, he'll go out on number two, and like he trains caddies, so part of caddy training is the trainee's caddy for him when mm-hmm. he goes plays around. And he's like, yeah, I'll just go out. He's like, I played nine the other day, shot a 31 on number two.
Yeah.
And he was like a plus four at some point and when he was at his peak. And he's like, could not sniff the Pro Tour.
Crazy.
It's just an elite level that we don't really comprehend, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, when Matt was trying out, you know, he was qualifying for Corn Ferry tournaments. And he had to go all over the place, and I'll never forget. He was, and I would keep track of it. Like, I would check in through whatever websites there were, see how he was doing. He texted me, or he maybe even called me, after his final attempt. He was out in Utah, I believe. And he said he, over the 2 days of qualifying, he went 7-under. He said, I couldn't have played any better, and I wasn't even close to the cut.
That's wild.
At 7-under. And I'm like, I get it, buddy. I said, you're one of the best golfers I ever played with, but I get it. So, yeah, it's you know what? It's just like any sport. The way we play it and the way it's played at the highest level are completely different
things. Yeah.
So, anyway, so we've wrapped up all of that. Twi wrap, everything in the shot. We're almost wrapping up in the shot. I mean,
for
theoretically,
life?
We're done. Well, you never know. I mean, every year it's a new decision. I know when my wife stands on that. Yeah. We'll see where it goes. I wanted to bring up one more thing, but I can't remember what it was. Do you have anything else in your bag of tricks?
Not for golf. I mean, what are you thinking? Like,
well, I know a lot of people have been anxiously awaiting the Men of Nishada calendar, which, by the way, CJ, granted, it is 2024, and I'm as woke as anybody, but it's a little gay. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying. It's a tiny bit.
I don't care what it is on a micro level. On a macro level, it's hilarious.
On a micro level, too.
On a macro level, it's hilarious.
I can't wait. By the way, I'm in.
You've seen some samples.
Yeah, I don't Photoshop like you do as well as you do, and I don't have the pictures.
No. This is very poorly Photoshopped, and I'm not going
to
attempt to make
it. I get it, but I don't even know how to do that much. Yeah. I don't have any pictures.
No, it's...
How do you get these pictures?
It's been fun for me. I'm like, hey... I'm set the club. I see someone. Hey, you want to be in the Men of Nishada calendar? I take a picture, front. I say, look left, look right. I get three pictures. And then I do AI-generated image. And I just paste the head on top.
All right. So, okay. So I can't do that. But I got a question for you. Because we do have to do this.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Can I suggest you a process for this? How about we decide? We can't. We have to decide who the 12 people are first. Don't you think?
No, what are you talking about? Because we'll get to, like, number seven, and I'll be like, okay, I just need to take one picture of your face. And they'll be like, well, you know, I'm not really around until, like, December 4th at 11:30 to 11:42 a.m. If you can't make that, then I don't know when we're going
to
do it.
I'm not suggesting we schedule photo shoots. I'm saying that we have to agree on who is going to be in the calendar.
Yeah, so I'm making, like, 15 of these. I've made like six so far.
So you're going
to
have... Yeah.
Like 15, then we'll filter it, yeah. Hey, or we might have a month where it's multiple people.
Do you know one thing that I found interesting is very few people, I think including myself and probably you too, have their picture posted on the member directory website.
Too easy. No.
Well, that would be a good place to get a picture.
Yeah, or I could go with someone's LinkedIn photo if it's hilarious enough.
Yeah, you can get them on Facebook too, I guess, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody's somewhere.
We'll make it happen.
All right. Well, we do have to, I think we have to agree, I think we have to have a conversation about who the calendar is made up of.
Yeah, we'll do that offline, but then we'll unveil it on a podcast.
I assume we're not doing one for the wives.
No, that would be, that's not hilarious, that's just creepy.
Yes, I get it. That's why I said, I assume, I didn't want you to come up with that idea, and then we have to tell you that you can't do that, CJ.
No, we can't go there. I think we're just towing the line with this one.
There's no question.
Maybe crossing it a little bit.
Well, well, the calendar is only going to be in Gary's lounge, right? So we only
it's going to be on. No, it's going online.
Oh, are we going to sell it?
It's a stocking.
Are we finally going to make money on this podcast?
It's a stocking stuffer. small stockings. But
oh, CJ, that's one of your best ideas.
All right.
It's better than the Crooker AI generation idea.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know you don't. All right, CJ, anything else?
That's it for me. Tough losses for the Pats and Lions this weekend, but
yeah, the Lions were terrible. I'm going to give you one observation about the Pats, and then we can wrap. I think the NFL is terrible this year.
And it's so bad.
The Patriots should not be punting on their season, but I think they're dead set on punting on the season. When they could be 2-0 right now and easily beat the Jets and be 3-0.
I don't think any team is good. It's crazy seeing a quarterback struggle to pass for 200 yards. I don't know all the full stats, but an offensive explosion the Saints had wasn't coming from downfield passes. That was coming from dumping it off to Kamara and then he'd run it out. Yeah.
Well, so you'll hear pundits say that the first 4 weeks of the regular season are like extended preseason.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's fine, I guess. But to you know, you pay the same amount of money for a September game if you're going to it that you do for a December game. So what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, if that's the prevailing wisdom and you can be the Saints and get off to a head start and go, I don't know that they're going to go 4-0. I forget. They have a hard game this week, I believe. But why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Give yourself that cushion. I mean, the Patriots are playing so freaking conservative that they're at the point where there is zero margin for error. So when they have a field goal attempt blocked, and by the way, Brissett takes a sack on third down and 6 when they've been running the ball, just run the ball into the line, and that probably doesn't happen. And then they're up 6 instead of 3, and they probably win that game. But you can't overcome that margin of error when you play like they do.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to be a little bit more aggressive than that. So that's just, that frustrated me because it isn't just the Patriots. I get what they are, but you look at the rest of the NFL and you're like, oh my God, my crappy team could be 2-0 right now and facing Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night when he's, you know, certainly not in game shape and has to play on a short week. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. That's my rant for the Patriots.
Yeah, a lot of season to go. I'm sure we'll be covering a little bit more as the as the off season goes on.
And I'm sure when we're done
their season, our off season.
Yeah, when they're done here, the Lions are going to be where they're supposed to be. The Pats will be where they're supposed to be, and we'll look back on this and go, why did we even have this conversation?
Yeah,
because usually that's the way it plays out. But you never know. There are some teams that actually look like the Eagles look bad.
Yeah. Side note on all of this. I'd like to make a general request to the American population.
they all listen, so go ahead.
I know that gambling is legal in most states. Right. I know that we're all on DraftKings.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about how so-and-so screwed over your parlay ever again.
There was a... Or how so-and-so screwed over your fantasy football team.
Don't want to hear it.
There is an article that I read about Patriots players. Did you read this? It might have been in the Globe or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Who... say that fans will DM them. And complain about how they did for their families. Like, dude, I don't care about your fans.
There was like a college football quarterback from Ole Miss who said, yeah, he would get like a death threat.
Is there fantasy football for college?
There's gamblers betting.
Oh, you can do the DraftKings thing.
I don't know. I can't remember if you can bet on individual players for college, but you can. I mean, you certainly can bet on college games. I remember going into this weekend, University of Tennessee was favored by 49 points going into that game. I was like, who would ever take 49 points?
Did they win by 49?
They won by 71. College is crazy.
I don't really follow college, but I guess now with gambling, like when my son told me this, you don't have to pick even a game. You can pick a situation and bet on it. Like who scores the first touchdown or who in a particular game, who does this, who does that, an over or under on this or that. And I'm like, that would get so, first of all, it's so minuscule. It's like, why does that even exist? But I guess people pound money on that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like putting down red on roulette, right? You think it's 50-50 odds. Number one, it isn't. Nope. And number two, if you win, you just roll it to the next thing, and you ultimately lose.
Yes.
Everybody loses.
Yep.
All right, CJ, this was good, spirited. We got a lot off our chests, and yeah. I guess we'll be back in a couple of weeks when we'll have a... We should probably... Wait, we did a podcast day of the finals where we had a roundtable, did we not?
Yeah, I think it's looking pretty good that we'll do that again.
I think we have to.
Yeah.
Last year, if I remember, the team that made the roundtable ended up losing.
Just remember, either way, we're going to either have Perella or Kramer on that podcast.
Well, Kramer is... He's been on the podcast before, if you remember.
Yeah.
Kramer's... Having Tony Perella on the podcast is going to be difficult.
Speaking of Kramer, converging with... So, wrapping all of this together. The guys that grew up at Neshotic, mm-hmm. So when I was out playing with them, Kramer was a loved person by those guys when they were kids.
Yeah.
They're like love Paul Kramer.
Yeah.
So that guy must have like given the best Halloween candy or I don't know what it was. I mean, obviously he's a very like friendly, like fun guy.
Probably would have they're all the same age as Kramer's son Peter.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of them knew him outside of the shot. Like, I don't think Dia Bakerly would have known Kramer outside of Neshotic, but those kids all grew up in Neshotic, and Kramer's been in Neshotic longer than I have.
Yeah.
He was there when I got there in like 1995.
But that's a great testament to him that, he's so fondly remembered.
Kramer's, everybody loves Kramer.
Yeah.
So, look, the fact that we're talking about him in the semifinals of our tournament is disgraceful, but there it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2024. Like, anything could happen.
That's the way it works, CJ. Yeah. Anything can happen. We've set it up that way.
Yeah.
So, congrats to us. All right, CJ. Sign us out.
All right. Peace, love, and reciprocals.